Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiyalah. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فالذين آمنوا به وعزروه ونصروه واتبعوا النور الذي أنزل معه أولئك هم المفلحون وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Honorable علماء, respected beloved elders and brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed us with numerous favors. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Sharif calls upon us and says to us by way of a reminder, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. In this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used the word ni'mat, ni'mat Allah, the favor of Allah in its singular form. That if you attempt to count, to break down, to unpack, to scrutinize, to inspect one single ni'mat of Allah, one single ni'mat of Allah, la tuhsuha, you will never be able to accomplish that task. Many of the ulama have stated that this one single ni'mah that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala speaks about is our Nabi Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the beginning of his life till the end, from his head to his toe, from wherever he traveled to wherever he sat, wherever he stood, the words that he spoke, the breath that he had taken, in every aspect are very great ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unfortunately, myself and as an ummah, we have never ever appreciated this great ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. When we look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then we look at the lives of those around Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the kind of love, passionate, intense love that they had for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has never been witnessed in history ever. When we speak about love, psychiatrists, philosophers may have a different perspective of love. But what is love when we speak about the love of Allah and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It effectively means that we give our hearts over to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's what we find Sahaba had done. Zayd ibn Haritha radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was a young boy. When he was traveling with his mother from Yemen, he hailed from Yemen, and he was captured by some bandits, and then he was enslaved, he was made a slave. And the long story short, he was brought to the marketplace of Ukaz and he was sold as a slave. Hakim bin Hizam bought him, purchased him, and then gave him as a gift to our mother Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. The incident is long, to condense it. When she handed over all her belongings, all her property to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, she also handed Sayyiduna Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu as a slave to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. On the other side, Zayd's father, his family, it comes in one narration, his mother had become blind because of the grief of the loss of his son. And that is natural. The father looks and goes helter-skelter looking for Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He cannot find him. Now we know that Hajj was in vogue already from the time of Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam. It continued in the time of paganism. And some Hujjaj from the neighborhood of Zayd had come to Makkah. They spotted him, they go back home, and they report to his father that we have spotted Zayd in Makkah. The father and his brother, Zayd's uncle, comes to Makkah, and eventually they locate him at the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The father is prepared to pay Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam a ransom, a penalty. I'll pay you whatever, but give my Zayd back to me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that this is the choice of Zayd. If Zayd wishes to go back with you, let it be, I have no issue. And if Zayd wishes to live with me, you should have no issue. Understand the context, contextualize this, that if he goes back home, he's a free boy. If he remains at that point in time with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's still a slave, he's enslaved, he is owned. A slave is not a servant. A slave is not an employee. He is owned by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sayyiduna Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu makes that one single most intelligent choice, and he says, I will live with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So to say, he sold his freedom and he continues with his slavery. At that point, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam takes Zayd, like the system was in those days, to the Baytullah and makes the announcement that I have freed Zayd and now I have adopted Zayd. Friends, that personality, Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu had known. He had given his heart, he had given his life, he was prepared to give his freedom to be in the enslavery of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May Allah ta'ala give us that kind of understanding in our relationship with our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Hubbe Rasul, Ishqe Rasul, Ashiqe Rasul cannot be slogans until we have not given this heart, this body of ours, our everything, we hand it over to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Urwa bin Mas'ud, in the 6th year of the Hijrah, our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam intends to go for Umrah. And he is stopped at this place called Hudaybiyah. And now a treaty is in process. There is a need to sign this peace treaty between Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Quraysh of Makkah. They send Urwa bin Mas'ud, at that time had not embraced Islam. He is still in the state of kufr, in shirk, in disbelief. And he is sent as an envoy to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A cursory glance at the Sahaba and those around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he sums up when he goes back to Makkah. He tells the Quraysh of Makkah that I have been an envoy to the emperors of Rome, the emperors of Persia, to the Negus of Abyssinia and other places. But I did not see any subject of these emperors like I have seen the love that the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had with him. It was compelling. And then he goes on to explain that when he discharges his Mubarak saliva, it does not touch the ground but the hand of one of the Sahaba. And they would take this saliva of his and they would rub it on their bodies. They understood this personality. They understood that every aspect of him was Mubarak. And then when he would perform his ablution, his wudu, they would not allow that water to touch the ground, but they will grasp it. Those that had it will then spread it around their bodies. Those who were unfortunate, they would then touch the moisture of the hands of those who were fortunate, and then they will pass those hands over their bodies. This is that muhabbat, the expression of love that Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu had, that was so glaring that in a short space of time, Urwa ibn Mas'ud realizes, recognizes and sees all of this. When he speaks, they would listen. And when they would sit with him, they would not dare look at him straight into his face. Such was the respect of the ashab of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Brothers and friends, these sahaba of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would give their everything. If you look at a few examples, Sayyiduna Talha bin Ubaidillah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he was from amongst the Ashara Mubashara at the time of the Battle of Uhud. We all know the history that the battlefield had changed. Catastrophe, Sahaba became shaheed. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is wounded, he's injured. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is in a state of fatigue. He is tired, he is weak. And on the one hand, on the other hand, the host of arrows that are now being shot towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is the target. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam needs to move from the battlefield and move into the shelter of the hills of Uhud. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in that tired state, obviously he had two armors on that now creates more difficulty for him. He finds this difficulty in moving. He needs to ascend and come up. Sayyiduna Talha ibn Ubaidillah radiallahu ta'ala anhu submits. He goes down onto the ground and he says, Ya Rasulullah, my back. You step and put that Mubarak foot on my back and you ascend. Many of us would have had old parents, or do have, Allah grant them the best of dunya and akhirat. We will see them sometimes with difficulty. The most we'll do is we'll lend a hand. The most we'll do is we will give our shoulders. Sahaba, they gave everything. He gave his entire body to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, literally. When the arrows were being showered towards Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as a matter of fact, at that time in one narration, when he had submitted his body for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had given him the ultimate glad tidings. Awjaba Talhatu, Talha has made Jannah compulsory upon him. Jannah has become compulsory. But Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu does not stop there. He becomes the human shield for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he shields Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his hand. A person by the name of Qais ibn Abi Hazim, he says, I saw this hand of Talha with which he had shielded Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that hand was completely paralyzed. Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, I watched those arrows as it was being shot with the intention of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyiduna Talha radiyallahu ta'ala, who is that human shield, he puts his hand, it slices and severs, separates his finger from his body, finger after finger. And what is Talha saying? Hasan, Hasan, this is good, this is good. Brothers, they gave their hearts, they gave their bodies, they gave their lives for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the topic of the Battle of Uhud, there was a woman, her name comes in the narration as Kulthum bint Rafi'a radiallahu ta'ala anha. She was an Ansariya woman. And when they heard the people of Medina, the woman heard that the situation on the battlefield is a turnaround, that Sahaba become shaheed, Allah's Nabi is wounded, there is this rumor that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has passed away. And this created anxiety in the people that were not at the battlefield, who did not know. And these women had come out to the battlefield. In the riwayat, in the narration of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, this woman walks past a person that has passed on. And somebody is indicating to her that that is your father. This woman responds, Ma fa'ala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is the condition of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? She goes forth and somebody is showing her another body, that that is the body of your husband. And she is disinterested. What is the condition of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Another body, the body of her son. And she is still concerned, what is the condition of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And eventually, when she has this glimpse of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she holds on to the cloth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kullu musibatin ba'daka jalal. Every difficulty has become easy after seeing you. Brothers, emotions, we know what happened in COVID. A person lost a family member and another family member, and the difficulties that people had gone through. But here is an individual, a woman, that teaches this ummah that lesson, that I have given my heart to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and when I have done that, then it shows out. The condition of the heart shows our attitude in every aspect. If there's greed in the heart, our body language, our words, our occupation, our everything will show we are chasing something that may never be ours. If there's nifaq and hypocrisy in this heart, then it shows out. But when there's love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also shows out. Our mother, Umm Habiba radiallahu ta'ala anha, narrates a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is narrated in different words, that she narrates from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Man salla thinte asharata rakatan fi yawmin wa laylatin buniyat lahu baytun fil jannah, aw kama qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whoever performs 12 rakats during the day and night, in other words, over a 24-hour period, then in lieu of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have a palace built for that person in Jannah. Which 12 rakats those are? 4 rakats before the fard of Zuhr, 2 rakats after the fard of Zuhr, 2 rakats after the fard of Maghrib, 2 rakats after the fard of Isha, and the two rakats before the fard of fajr, which we learnt in our madrasa days as sunnate muakkada. Now what we do is we will say it is sunnat, it is only a sunnah, so it is not important. But what our mother, Ummu Habiba radiallahu ta'ala anha said, مَا تَرَكْتُهُنَّ مُنْذُ سَمِعْتُهُنَّ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. After I heard these Mubarak words from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I had never left those 12 rakats out ever. It is, in mine and your words, it's about 15 minutes, 18, 20 minutes to the maximum, spread out over 24 hours to purchase a palace in Jannat. More interesting is the person who narrated this hadith from Ummu Habiba radiallahu ta'ala anha. His name was Abasa ibn Abi Sufyan. The narrator from him, Amr ibn Auf, says, I heard Abasa ibn Abi Sufyan, rahmatullah alayhi, narrate this hadith in the throes of death. He passes his whole life. And now he knows that between him and Jannat or Akhirat is the throes of death. I'm departing, leaving this world. And after he narrates this hadith from our mother Ummu Habiba radiallahu ta'ala anha, he also says, مَا تَرَكْتُهُنَّ مُنْذُ سَمِعْتُ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ. After listening and hearing this hadith, I had never ever left these 12 rakats out. And then Amr ibn Auf, when he narrated this hadith, he said the same thing. I had never ever left these 12 rakats out. And from him, An-Numan ibn Salih, rahmatullah alayhi, says the very same thing. After narrating the hadith, I didn't leave these 12 rakats out. Now how many times do we hear and we have heard the importance of sunnah muakkada, and how many times do we say it is only but a sunnah? So we don't have to practice. Sahaba understood a sunnah, Sahaba understood it had to be practiced. Sahaba understood in order to acquire that palace in Jannah, these are the actions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had guided us, directed us, and we have to practice. That is, that difference between our hearts and their hearts, that they had iman in what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said. The part of the ayah that was quoted, فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Allah ta'ala speaks about those who have brought iman in Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they had brought iman in him. That iman that they had brought in him was an iman that was unparalleled. If we take the example of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, many years after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu sits on the minbar of Kufa. And one person asked him a question. O Amirul Mu'mineen, we hear about that night. Which night? The night of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's departure from Makkah. He's making this hijrat. They called him Al-Amin As-Sadiq. They had placed all the amanat in his hands, although they didn't bring iman in him. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had left Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu in charge of all of this. And now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departs on the hijrah with Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now on that night, the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is surrounded by the Quraysh of Makkah, thugs. We will call them mafias. Thirsty for the blood and hungry for the life of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amirul Mu'mineen, you are alone, you were alone. how did you spend that night? How did you spend that night? We need to contextualize this again. Try to understand the reality. We hear a slight sound outside, 2 kilometers away. We will not sleep. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala who responds that that was the best night of my life and the best sleep I ever had. Unbelievable. We cannot accept that. How was it possible? One single statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ali, you distribute the amanat and I will see you in Medina. I had the yaqeen I will reach Medina. I had that yaqeen I will reach Medina. Brothers and friends, this was the kind of iman that they had in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we want to give our hearts to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, friends, when we give it, it would mean that we need to emulate in every aspect the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In order to emulate, we will have to learn the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ulama have stated that every sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is such that on the one hand it is ashal, it is the easiest. Take any other way of life and take the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will find simplicity and ease in the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number two, we will find it is akmal, it is complete and total, because it was revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we will find it is most compatible, and it is ajmal, it is the most beautiful. And if anybody wants to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is the easiest way for a person to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq and the ability to practice upon the mubarak sunnah of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enlighten our hearts with the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the realization that we have an uswatun hasana, the best and the most excellent example in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah give us the tawfiq to emulate. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.